Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I'm pretty pumped about today's episode because, one, we're continuing our countdown series, which, dude, I love this new format. If you're new with us, we used to do one individual episode that I would record off air and then air every single individual episode, individual players, 91 episodes. And like, it was cool and I liked it and it was fun to, you know, attribute an entire episode to one player, but it was just kind of daunting from a logistics standpoint. This year, because my life is a little bit crazy, we're moving in 1 week. So Chapman's house is in shambles. We are packing and downsizing, all this stuff. We decided to try to go to my wife's pleasure. Like, I had to make her happy. She was like, dude, don't do the countdown again. You're stressed every year on that. And I was like, I gotta do it. So we're doing five players per episode. This episode's players 28 through 24 on the roster countdown, which I'm super pumped about. And man, it's filled with second year players and one of the predominant rookies. Now, the title of the episode is 49ers Most Impactful Rookie. So that's the question I want to start us off with, right? Who do you think of the eight drafted rookies in this draft class will be the most impactful for the 2026 season alone? Not long-term, not life of the contract, all that stuff. We're kind of doing a near-sighted focus for a countdown series. It just trying to pay attention to just this season, right? So 2026 impact only. So my question to you is, which one of the rookies do you think has the biggest impact this season? Well, our countdown is going to kind of give us the answer for what we thought. And again, shout out to, Josh, Ben, Zach, and myself. We kind of went through ranked 1 through 91, all these different players. And it's been such a fun process. You get to know all these players better. It kind of just forces a microscopic view on the individual player impact, how all those things work out. And the depth chart is so paramount in this. And I think one of the things that's really, really cool, and we'll get to this a little bit later in today's episode, looking at the 2026 49ers roster compared to last year, this is a lot harder countdown to do. Because here we are in the 20s, and last year we were throwing players that probably didn't deserve to be there because there was such a cataclysmic drop-off from your pillars, your all-pro players, your pro bowlers, to what's next. It just wasn't present last year. This season, you have a little bit more of a verified second-year player breakout candidates that are in that kind of category, that are in this category. And I just think it's a testament to this is a better team. This is a much better roster, top to bottom, than what you saw last year. And last year's team, pressing all the way for the number one seed up until week 18, you got a playoff win. You knocked off the defending champions, the Eagles, on the road in the playoffs. Only eight teams won playoff games last season. Only eight. 49ers are one of those. Amidst all the injuries, the depleted roster, all those different things. Didn't matter. And then you look at 2026. It's even better. It goes to 11. Oh man, Oscar, what's up, man? He says height should fit the narrative of most impactful this season. Jack Knox, what's up? Yeah, height should be number one rookie. Calc Addict, Romello height impact is bigger than Stribling. I think Stribling will show great flashes, but the room for a lot more big plays now. Man, I agree. And that's why at number 28, the second highest rated rookie on this list, Deshaun Stribling. We're going to be talking about him a lot. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. What's up, Chrissy? What's up, Devin? Appreciate you guys. What's up, Tommy? Yeah, a little early. Man, I got to get to packing. So usually I wait till 10. And man, we're getting two 49ers Rush shows today. Yeah, whatever. I say we're like all in. Vacation time is over. We're not playing around anymore. We're going to go live later today around 7 p.m. Larry's so stinking busy. We'll be on there with Kruger. Anywhere between 7:15 to 7:30, we'll be live again later tonight. So we're getting two shows today. We got a countdown in the morning starting us off right, and we're going to end the day with Larry and all the craziness that he brings. He is the best of the best, and so that's going to be a lot of fun. So two shows today, which I'm super, super pumped. Right here, Cal. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever counted down a preseason like I have this year. Hope is there. It should be there for all 32 teams, but man, when you look at the 49ers roster, it is very easy to say this is a top five roster in the NFL. You look at the coaching staff, definitely fits that narrative as well. It's just like, man, you're in the NFC West, and yeah, defending Super Bowl Seattle Seahawks had your number for sure. They're back, and I think they took a couple steps back, but still great. The Rams, good Lord. You could make the argument three best teams in the NFL are on the same division, but got to play the games. Got to play the games. What's up, Oscar? Hashtag CC. Man, travels did go well. Thank you, man. And thanks for the anniversary, which is I'm at 27 with the wife. We're at 20. We just passed 20. You're at 27. You stud. Oscar, you're the freaking man. Jax, can't wait to hang out this season. Yes. Every time we are together, it is we have a great time. There's no doubt about that. What's up, everybody? Appreciate everybody coming in. Oh, look at Ben. 3 days in a row, I'm playing Powerball tonight. If I win, Australia trip's on me. That's what I'm talking about. That Australia trip is pricey, but it's going to be absolutely incredible. Lifelong memories. I cannot wait, cannot wait, cannot wait. What's up, Raj? My man. He says, I was just about to ask when you're on with Larry again. Yeah, I'll be doing a couple radio segments with him on KNBR this week. Not sure when those are, but we'll be live tonight on his and my channel, respectively. Yeah, man, check us out. Check us out. What's up, John? Can't wait to see you out there in Dallas. We'll be traveling from Kansas with lots of heads. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Dallas is going to be a blast. If you haven't been to Jerry's World, it's one of the older stadiums in the NFL now. The shelf life of stadiums is about 15 to 20 years, which I guess that's good for Levi's because, man, Levi's is terrible. And by far, it's funny. I was even talking to people over in France and, you know, whenever we were over there watching World Cup games with, you know, Brits and Spaniards, it was awesome. And they were asking us about the stadiums and the World Cup. And a few different people were like, man, I heard Levi's is like terrible. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's our stadium. The fans are great. The team's great. I love the atmosphere there. But like from the surroundings, it's terrible. But if you haven't been to Jerry's World, which is much older than Levi's, it's actually held up very, very well. And now they're talking about kind of redoing that one and updating that one. Dallas is going to be a good time. And now they announced they're wearing the throwbacks for those games, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. I love that. I love that. Thanks for the hashtag, CCs. Partying in Arlington would be kick-ass. Yeah, we'll be at. We rented out Texas Live. Like, if you watch the World Cup and you saw those parties at Dallas, yeah, we're going to be in that same spot. We're going to show up. We're expecting a very, very large crowd. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get your tickets now. They're the cheapest that they will be for the all-inclusive tailgate, premium tailgate, day of the game, which we have our own private lot for that. And then the day before, we'll be at Texas Live in Texas. So in Arlington, that's going to be a good time. Yeah, right here. My main worry on the schedule is MetLife Stadium. That place is the only one that I would rank worse than Levi's. I've been to 26 stadiums. Yeah, so 26 and 25, right? It's two teams. But for two teams, MetLife's the worst. Levi's probably second to worst. Now, the saving grace for Levi's is the grass field. It's probably one of the best fields in the NFL, but that doesn't affect fan experience. But yeah, that's where we're at. So let's jump into the countdown. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Deshaun Stribling, the second highest rated rookie on our countdown, comes in at number 28. You know, drafted, he was the first draft pick, but he's not the highest impact. A lot of that has to do with the offseason moves and free agency. You bring in Mike Evans. You bring in Christian Kirk, Captain Kirk. I got to fix that. You got Ricky Pearsall back. Deshaun Stribling, the rookie impact is going to be a little minimal, especially at the jump. Now, if there's an injury to any of the top three wide receivers, which, you know, Evans, Pearsall, Kirk, that those are probably your starters off the bat. Deshaun Stribling is going to be kind of slot and X is the way I see it. Now, if there's an injury somewhere, you can move him accordingly. He's played so much. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Where's jersey number 15? I like that. 62207. Dude's 23 years old. One of my Rush Crush players, right? We had 13 players that were my favorite players in the draft. Deshaun Stribling was one of them. I thought I was super high on him. I had a high third round grade on him. He was rated in the 50s. Niners took him 33. He was 50s on my board. I love the player. And obviously, you know, yeah, Schefter putting out that the Rams liked him a lot too and whatever else. He was a clean evaluation. Played at Washington State, transferred to Oklahoma State, then transferred to Ole Miss. You kind of had three versions of the air raid. Now let's get into the background. Deshaun Ryan Stribling is the full name, only child. He was born in Hawaii, but then moved outside of Raleigh, North Carolina area. His father, Carlos, spent 17 years in the Marines. Like to hear that. Yeah, so you're definitely structured, regimented, respectful, like all those different things. That's going to come across. His mother was an accountant, Aisha. Then they moved to San Diego area. Again, military kids, they bounce around a lot. It's just kind of what it is. Started playing Pop Warner football as a running back and then just kind of blossomed into what he was as a wide receiver. Moved back to Hawaii in the sixth grade. That's where he started to love football. Switched to quarterback, then back to wide receiver. Played all over the place. His uncle, Don The Rock Morocco. Are you freaking kidding me? Come on, man. Where are my 80s, 90s kids at? Professional wrestler and all that stuff. Then Stribling, once he gets to high school, multi-sport standout, three-star recruit. He accepted the Washington State kind of scholarship, goes there, graduated with a degree in university studies at Oklahoma State, transfers to Ole Miss for his final college season, and played multiple situations, but he was kind of the X everywhere. Now, what is the X? There is a lot of terminology that gets thrown around when talking wide receivers that gets kind of rough. Number one wide receiver, X, outside, inside, slot, all this, whatever. In Kyle Shanahan's system, there's only three wide receivers. He didn't have four. He's got the X, he's got the Z, and he's got the slot, okay? The X is Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, Josh Gordon, Brandon Ayuk. The Z is Deebo Samuel, Ricky Pearsall, that kind of gadget, can do screens, end arounds, whatever else. And then you got the slot. Usually Kyle Shanahan prefers the small slot and the big slot, right? A small slot, Trent Taylor, Aldrick Robinson, you know, these little bitty guys. And then you've also got the big slot guys, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne, that type of role. But the X is the most valuable wide receiver position in the NFL. It's the most valuable wide receiver position in the Kyle Shanahan offense. Sean Stribling is that. He could play down to the slot role. Z, I'm not so sure about. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that yesterday with Wayne. It's not where I would put him personally, but if you had to, you could. I think X is where he will be eventually. Slot, he could get some early slaps now, especially in the red zone short yardage. Sean Stripling gets drafted in the second round, 33rd overall. And this was after the 49ers trade back, not once, but twice. They get the top pick of the second round this year, take Deshaun Stripling, and everybody flips out. He's 23 years old, and here's our pre-draft write-up of Deshaun Stripling. Again, this was a Rush Crush guy, one of my favorite players of this draft. This is what we wrote about him before the Niners drafted him. Insane experience across major multiple conferences, over 3,000 snaps, most for any wide receiver drafted this season in the draft. Insane speed size combo, A-plus blocker and yak guy, should be getting more love. At Ole Miss was the true X, but the offense is hard to evaluate. I hate Ole Miss. I hate that we drafted back-to-back Ole Miss guys and Jordan Watkins in him. I hate watching Ole Miss offense. It's disgusting. Plays so hard, fights for every yard. This is Deshaun Stripling. Catches everything, even tip passes. Natural hands catchers that snatches the ball when his hands extended consistently. Tight-hipped, not a lot of wiggle. That's why I don't see him as a Z, right? You think about Debo, you think about Pearsall. They went in different ways, but that shiftiness, that is there. Straight line start-stop is elite. I really hope Brock can kind of develop that back shoulder fade, because now you have Mike Evans, who's one of the best in the NFL to do it over the past decade. Now you're adding Deshaun Stripling, this big-bodied, high-speed, vertical threat X that can shut down the gears, slam on the brakes, and hit that back shoulder fade. The hardest route to defend for a cornerback. Almost every single corner, you could be in perfect position if the quarterback and wide receiver are on the same page on that back shoulder kind of comeback, you know, whatever. Almost impossible to defend. No issues going over the middle for Deshaun Stripling. Now, we rated his traits, right? We grade traits 1 through 10. Experience was a 10 out of 10. Versatility, 6. Speed, 9. Acceleration, 8. Production, 4. He never really had that blow-up year. He played a lot of football for multiple schools and was always consistently good. But again, like you look at, he had 734 yards, 6 touchdowns his last year at Ole Miss. Never was like that guy that has like 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. Just never was that guy. Blocking, 10. Yak, 9. It's a lot of high ratings. Now, you look at his snaps, 3,008 snaps at the wide receiver position, 20-plus in the backfield. He took some backfield snaps at Washington and Oklahoma State. 40 snaps in line is kind of like a tight end. Didn't happen too much. Slot, 500 snaps. Out wide, over 2,400 snaps. He's an ex-wide receiver. That is where the value is. Deshaun Stripling's freaking awesome. And, you know, shout out to my man Mikey with Basement Brew Fantasy Football. We were chatting this morning, and he was debating on, you know, in a permanent fantasy league, you know, a forever league where you just keep the player that you draft forever. He was debating between a couple players, and Stripling was one of them. I was telling him, dude, if this is a forever league, if you get the X wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan, eventually he's going to put up some insane numbers. Insane numbers. Yeah, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson. I mean, just Josh Gordon. You go on and on and on and on. The X wide receiver position in the Kyle Shanahan offense, it's a gift. It is a gift. This year, Mike Evans is that guy. Stripling gets to learn from one of the best to do it. He gets to sit in the wings, take notes, develop his game, all those different things, but might be able to contribute as that big slot role early. But when Mike Evans comes out, Mike Evans is old. There's going to be snaps available. If everybody is healthy in the wide receiver room, I expect Stripling to get about 15 to 20 snaps a game. Injury happens, that could change. That could be inflated considerably. But that's about what you want for the rookie, about 15 to 20 snaps a game. Develop, earn, ease in, all those different things. That's what I want. Athletic comp, Romeo Doubs, who that was one of the guys I wanted the Niners to sign. Well, you got him for free, basically, in the draft. You don't have to pay him crazy, crazy money. I had the highest third round grade on him. He fit in the 50s in my overall. He was a 10 out of 10. And there are two players on today's countdown that were perfect 10 out of 10s on our 49ers fit scale. We rank every single player that we ranked drafted. We did 200 plus Deshaun, I think we had 9-10 scores, and two of them got drafted by the 49ers. Like, we're pretty good at recognizing a lot of the guys that the 49ers like. Oh, man. I love Deshaun Stribling. Was it a reach? Eh, maybe a little bit. But this is a player that fits perfectly at a major position of need long term. Love the draft pick. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Oh, man. Ooh, look at this question from Doc Savage. If you could magically transport any stadium to the Niners home field, which one would you do? Bank of America Stadium, Minnesota Vikings. It's my favorite stadium in the NFL. It's number one. If you haven't been there, man, go check it out. It is right in the heart of the city. One, everything is aesthetically pleasing. It's a freaking Viking ship, which doesn't really fit with the 49ers, but whatever. You could change it to like make it look on the outside, like going into like a what's it called? Like a cave to, you know, mine out gold and stuff. You make it awesome. But yeah, that stadium is badass. It snows inside. They make it snow, fake snow from the ceiling. Oh, dude. Yeah. Bank of America Stadium, the Viking Stadium is number one for me by a considerable amount. If you could go to one stadium, dude, take some time at some point, go see that stadium. Oh, it's freaking awesome. But it, kind of my favorite stadiums in the NFL. I love Bank of America, the Viking Stadium. I love Seattle Stadium. It's just incredible, beautiful, right on the water, in the city. Fans loud as hell. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I hate Seattle, though. I like the Raiders Stadium a lot. SoFi is pretty cool, but kind of a little too corporate feel for me. It's too big, but, you know, and then Atlanta. Atlanta is awesome. Atlanta might be the one that, yeah, I'd be cool with that one as well. Atlanta is incredible. Freaking opens up. Atlanta is just great. It really, really good time. So I could talk uniforms or stadiums at any time, ladies and gentlemen, at any time. So like whenever I used to teach, you know, I taught for 16 years and students would try to get me off task. Like I'd let them know, dude, y'all want to get off task? We'll go down some rabbit holes. We're going to have some fun. We're going to learn. And sometimes I'd catch them doing it on purpose. But yeah, if you guys want to get me off task, stadiums and uniforms, I will take the bait almost every time. Devin, what's up, man? He says, I watch highlights of Stribling blocking daily. So much fun. You know, I put out clips. If you want to go watch his game tape, his all 22 game tape, which is really hard to find, we have that up on the 49ersrush.com. On our Patreon, which the link is in the description of this video for both of those. Sign up, get a 7-day free trial. We have multiple games up of Deshaun Stribling. You'll see him pancake a defensive back, a corner, and start hitting his helmet like Dre Greenlaw with both fists on a block. Like, you're talking about a guy that just wants to destroy people. Like, it is there consistently. You know, he had a running quarterback in Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss. And so it was a lot of RPO garbage, which I really hate watching. But, you know, a lot of those quarterback keepers on the RPOs, touchdowns, first downs happen because of Deshaun Stribling holding his block against linebacker, safeties, corners consistently. Dude, he fits. He was a 10 out of 10. He's got a 10 on the blocking scale. The only guy that I had a higher run blocking grade than Deshaun Stribling was Denzel Boston, who I really, really liked. Deshaun Stribling is like, he was number two in this draft class for me from a wide receiver blocking standpoint. Now, that's an additive, right? If blocking is the best attribute for a wide receiver, there's a problem. You want it to be an additional thing. That's not the core thing. And it's not the core thing for him. Speed, size, hands, those are what separate Deshaun Stribling. Is he a great route runner? He is not yet. He is not. Didn't have to be in those systems. It's air raid, go to a spot, and we'll throw it to you. He's got to develop some. He's going to have to change that. But he gets to learn from Mike Evans. You know what I mean? That's huge. What's up, Shane? My man, better late than ever. Appreciate you. He says, I've gotten crazy excited about Stribling. I just hope Shanahan doesn't bury him because he's a rookie. Guy was the first pick of the second round. I'm with you. Deshaun Stribling is going to play. And for those of us that have PTSD with Shanahan benching, you know, all these wide receivers and not playing them, he's played first and second round wide receivers that were drafted since he's been with the 49ers. Debo played right off the bat. Limited role. Ayuk played right off the bat, limited role. That was the COVID year. He had to play a lot more than I think anybody really wanted, but that's going to happen. News just now from Adam Schefter, Zach Charbonnet is placed on the physically unable to perform for, you know, the Seahawks. That was kind of expected. So just kind of updating you on the NFC West. Seattle put a lot of guys on that PUP list, a lot of starters. I think four starters. Niners going to be putting some guys on there too, though. And we should start to hear that Saturday and Sunday. What's up, Shannon? What's up, Michael? Appreciate you guys. Notorious, what's up, man? Yeah, keep stripling out of the doghouse. I posted one of those clips of a Homelander trying to teach his son to fly. if you see that, where they're on the roof and Homelander just like hits his son off the roof and the son just falls and hits the ground. I was like, yeah, this is Shanahan stripling during rookie training camp. It's going to be rough for the kid, but he's made of the right stuff. He's made of the right stuff. I see Stripling coming out like Puka did to start, just to start off. Yeah, Puka started off in the slot. Slot's easy. Yeah, Puka still plays in the slot for the most part, but that McVay does that, right? Cooper Kupp did the same thing. You know, Puka plays the slot role. Deshaun Stripling could do that now. McVay uses 11 personnel as his base. Shanahan does not. So even if Stripling is that slot role, you're only getting 20 snaps a game. I think he's going to get probably half of his reps at X, half of his reps at slot. I just think that's what it's going to be. There we go, Skull. You showed up there. Yeah, Pittsburgh's great. I love Pittsburgh. Acrisure is incredible. A lot of Pittsburgh's greatness has to do with the city and the fans. Acrisure Stadium's nice. It's definitely top 10 for me. Fan experience really, really high, but a lot of it's the Pittsburgh fans, dude. They are freaking awesome. That city, the bridges, oh, such a good time. Yeah, Pittsburgh Stadium's incredible, man. Right on the water. Yeah, it's great. It is great. It is great. Agreed. Yeah, what I say about SoFi is too big for a reason. It's huge, man. That place is crazy. Worst internet of any place, which is crazy. You can't do anything. It's so funny. Every time you go to SoFi, you get up to scan your ticket and nobody can get in because the internet's so bad, nobody can open their tickets. So the only people that can get in are the ones that save their tickets to their wallet, because if you try to open any app at SoFi, it won't work. And so like it's impossible to do shows there and all that stuff. So that's frustrating. But yeah, it's funny. It's like the newest stadium, most expensive stadium, can't get cell phone service. It's just what it is. Right here. What's up? The last hero. We still need to know what we have in Cowan and Jordan Watkins. Yeah, both big question marks. Both of them. Oh, yeah, Ben, right here. Dante Pettis played his rookie second round pick as well. Didn't play well, but he played. He just got too scared. He's too scared to go over the middle. Oh, Philip, what's up, my man? He says, do we have a Zoom hangout coming out? We do. I forgot to ask the wife which day it's going to be. It's going to be Monday or Tuesday next week. Stay tuned. I'm going to get that posted. We do a Zoom hangout once a month. We're moving Thursday, so I've got to have this done Monday or Tuesday, which I'm super pumped. I love Zoom hangouts. They're about as much fun as possible. So we're moving Thursday, Friday. So we're going to have to do Monday or Tuesday, but I got to talk to the wife. She's not here. She's in a meeting of her own. So I'll have to talk to her and get back to you. But we will be having our Zoom hangout Monday the 27th or Monday the 27th or Tuesday the 28th. So just stay tuned for those. We will have those out there. I'm pretty excited about that. Big Tone, it's all a lie. Kyle will play you as a rookie, but you're showing progress. You get hurt on the back end, all those different things. Yeah, he'll give you chances, but if you get injured or mess up, you're done. You're done. Logan, Stripling could be active early. And often, considering we've known for having injuries at multiple positions, one injury and he's in the starting lineup. I agree with that. He could play any of those spots. So that's number 28. Let's get to another second-year player for the 49ers, not second-year player. The rest, I think every single player on here that we have left, yes. The next four players in a row. All second-year 49ers. And so you kind of know what you're getting a little bit because you've seen it, but you're hoping that second year they all take a step up. Obviously, that's not rational for every single player in their second year to step up, but they know what to expect. At number 27, Keon White, the defensive end, comes in, got shot in the offseason. That's never good. A little baby, you suck. Wears jersey number 56. He came in at the trade deadline right before, about 2 weeks before. And, man, thank God you traded for him. You got him pennies on the dollar. Gave up a six-round pick for him. You're supposed to get a seventh-round pick back, but the condition was that was a conditional. If he played over seven games, then that negated that seventh-round pick coming back. He played 11 with the playoffs and everything. So that seventh-round pick, you didn't get back. So you gave up a six-rounder. Not too big of a deal for Keon White. You had to have him last year. You do not win that playoff game without Keon White. You had no defensive ends. Dude started. 6'5", 290. He's huge. He's a tweener. He's a defensive tackle, Buck-style end that can just do a little bit of everything. Not great at anything. He's a do-it-all defensive line player that can play everywhere. Defensive tackle, defensive end. He could do it all. Went to Old Dominion. Was there for 3 years, then transferred to Georgia Tech. Go Yellow Jackets. Born and raised in North Carolina, Raleigh, back-to-back Raleigh players. Look at that. White went to Gardner Magnet High School. Played both sides of the ball. He's a tight end, defensive end, three-star recruit. Went to Old Dominion before transferring to Georgia Tech. Very productive college career. Led to him being a second-round pick. Traded to the 49ers right before the deadline. He was drafted in the second round, 46 overall, by the Patriots back in 2023. They loved him. Then they switched defensive, alignment and scheme, and he just wasn't what they wanted. Vrabel wants his guys. He was not picked by Vrabel, and so Vrabel just basically sent him out, and yeah, he's awesome, man. Look at this big toad. Keon has football face. Yes, he does. Looking through the pictures for the thumbnail, like the graphic we use, we try to put all five pictures. What do? We put all five pictures of each player. You type in Keon White into Google and you look at the images, that dude, he has no care in the world for, perhaps this is poorly said, he doesn't give a shit what he looks like. He's not one of those guys with his wrists taped up and all that stuff. No, 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 no. He's out there with a shirt untucked. He's got an oversized undershirt on, sleeves hanging out. Like, he's got the hood on under the helmet. He does not care at all about, like, style and pizzazz whenever he's got his football uniform on. This is football, football, football. So, Big Toad, I'm with you 100%. What's up, 49ers Core? Appreciate you guys. Now, you look at Keon White's going into his fourth season. This is the last year the 49ers have his contract, right? So you gave up a sixth-round pick for a guy for back-to-back years. He's going to be your number three defensive end. Played in 47 games, 20 starts, 12 tackle for loss, 7.5 sacks through three seasons. Not the biggest pass rusher, but he's more of a disrupt and impact the quarterback than finisher. He's not a finisher. That's not what he is. And you got him for cheap, man. A six-round pick, really, really awesome. Made a huge impact in the defensive line room. Consistent, positive player. Still young, with upside. He's 27. And you're going to get a compensation pick back for him. Like, he's going to go get signed somewhere, and you'll probably get, like, a seventh-rounder back for him. So, give up a sixth. You get 2 years out of him. Going to get a compensation pick on the back end unless he goes out there and has a great season, which he's going to get snaps because Mikael Williams, I expect to start on the pup. I fully expect Bosa and Keon White to be the starters for the first month of the season. That's what I expect to see out there. So he's going to get some more starts. Played in 11 games for the 49ers last year, played 600 snaps, 12 tackles, 2 tackle for loss, 1.5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits. Again, more of a disruptor, impactor than a finisher. 1 fumble recovery, 1 pass breakup. He's on his rookie deal last year. He's made $5.9 million. Keon White's a damn good player. Now, the gunshot wound definitely set him back. Could be a pup candidate when camp starts. But again, with pup, can come off the pup at any time. So, Saturday, Sunday, when we get the list of 49ers players that are on the pup, NFI, all that stuff, take a deep breath. They can be activated at any time. And so he is one of those guys. The workout videos have been awesome. I'm with you, 50 Casual. But Shannon says, yeah, I'm Googling Keon White right now. Yeah, he's just not one of those dudes that's just in there to be like, oh, everybody look at me. This is a lunch pail type dude. He went to Old Dominion, man. Come on. I love that. I love that. Niners now. Hey, Countdown Crew. What's up with the rookie reporting this week to training camp? Do they do any training or are they just waiting for the vets to show up to start training? I don't get why they come early. Install. So a lot of it has to do with, one, you've got to come in and you get your check-in, your health checkup, all those things, conditioning test. You do all that. It gives you time in your rooms for install. So a lot of it's mental reps for that first week for the rookies. You're going through teach tape. And so you'll show them plays. This is what I want you to do. So when we go through this drill, here's the play and what it looks like and what we want you to do. We don't want you to do this. We don't want you to do this. Like, it's just kind of a hyper-focused fish camp. This is what it's going to be like. You go through weight workouts a lot. You go through conditioning workouts a lot. And you go through a lot of meetings to get them up to par so that when the vets show up, you're not stopping your conversation with vets to get a rookie up to speed. This is their time. So that's what it is. Yeah, you do some practice stuff, but it's much more drill work, one-on-one work. You don't have enough for team. You're not running through plays and all that stuff. It's install, walkthrough, mental reps, and just getting in shape and working out. Getting used to the routine so that when the vets show up, they're not completely lost. So hopefully that answers your question, Niners now. Yeah, yeah, right here. Akshay, I'm ready for the season. Let's go. John, do we have too many tweeners at defensive end? Feels like the Niners MO minus Romello Height. It's good for a chameleon defense. It's good for the tweeners are good for stopping the run as your priority, Saleh. And it's also good for kind of this tweener size, whatever that we're going to get from Raheem Morris. Yeah, I'd like more speed edge rushers. Having one, that's kind of rough. If Romello Height struggles or gets injured, you have nobody else. You throw Jalen Duggar down there if you have to. It's not the ideal way to build. It's really, really not. But with last year, you got to remember last year, you had 4 out of 5 defensive ends out. Yeah, Keon White was a necessity. Was a necessity. You had to have them. And so you've got a great, the defensive end room for the 49ers is strong. But yeah, if your goal is to get 50 sacks in a season, this ain't it. It's not the way you build. It's not the way you build. It's really, really not. Gav right here. I think to get the rookies in early to see if they're injured in shape. Yep. Well said. Well said. Yeah, it's going to be a great season, man. I can't wait. Physicals for the pup guys should be starting today. Yep, they're coming. And so that list is going to come out. And here's the funny thing is a player will be on the 49ers pup list for 2 days before we find out about it. They don't leak that stuff. They just don't. So anyway, now we've got 3 more players on the countdown. That was Keon White coming in at number 27. And man, a huge fan favorite coming in at number 26, who I really, really like, but I don't like as much as most people right after this. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. All right, right here, Notorious. So he asks, so we should hear about the extent of the Khalil Dinkins injury soon? Not necessarily. The Niners do not have to disclose that. They could disclose it, and it's probably going to come out at some point. But because that's an NFI, meaning before the Niners acquired him, they don't have to disclose. It's not there. They don't have to. So Kyle could be a butthead and say, like, you've actually heard him say at pressers, like, I don't think we have to. Like, he'll look to the side to his guy and be like, I don't think we have to disclose that. Like, he'll follow the rules. You know, he don't want to get in trouble because if you misrepresent injuries, you get talk picks and things. But Kyle will keep that for himself. Do with that what you will. It might be waiting a while on Khalil Dinkins' report. I'm just going to be honest. Big Tone, thanks for the super chat, my man. Is Bryson Eason the run version of Halton? Ooh, interesting. I like Bryson. I really, really do. And here, let me look up. You know, we did our full. We had Bryson Eason at number 78, 6'2", 323. So he's way bigger. We don't have anybody built like Bryson Eason on this roster. Like, it's a pretty much an undersized defensive tackle group outside of Alfred Collins, Evan Anderson, and Bryson Eason. Those are your plugger roles. Now, you go look at kind of the way in which he played, tackle for losses, against the run, combined. He had 22 tackle for losses, 4.5 sacks. That tells you what he does. He's just the plugger guy. And so I like the idea of Eason, the run version of Halton. They're just built completely different. Like, if you see them next to each other, you look at Grayson Halton and you're like, dude, if this dude loses weight, you can play tight end. You look at Bryson Eason and you're just like, whoa, that dude's big. he's a big dude, man. There is no other position Bryson Eason could play. But that's a long-term development play. I would argue Bryson Eason is competing with Evan Anderson for that practice squad spot to back up the plugger role that Alfred Collins is going to play. So, yeah, we'll see how that is. Niner Zeno, what's up, man? John, was training camp a lot different back in the early 2000s compared to now? Shanahan does a lot of the same things. Definitely a lot more contact. The NFL, as it continues and adds more games and whatever else, less and less contact, less and less pad days, less and less practice time. So it just gets smaller and smaller like that. But Shanahan runs a difficult practice, not as difficult as the Denver Broncos. They are, you know, notorious for some of the hardest practicing teams. Tomlin was always one of those guys. Harbaugh is one of those guys. The old hats. Andy Reid runs, you know, a pretty hard practice. Shanahan's up there. He doesn't believe Shanahan's difference is he's not a walkthrough coach. Walkthroughs are run throughs. And that's where he's got trouble in the past. So do with that what you will. Number 26. He was number 19 on the list last year. And again, I talked about he fell 7 spots, not anything on his own. The fact that last year's roster, CJ West, a 4th-round rookie, could be top 20 is a testament to last year versus this year. CJ West did nothing to be moved down the list. It's just a way better roster. So the fact that CJ West was 19 last year on this roster countdown, kind of a testament to, now you look at Grayson Halton, 4th-round rookie defensive tackle, drafted pretty much in the exact same spot as CJ West was last year. He's 35 on the list this year, right? So you look at the difference between last year, CJ West, 4th-round rookie, comes in 19 on the list this year, 26, after an impressive rookie campaign that just got better, 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 better. Where's jersey number 99? We had him on the show. He was awesome last year. He was great. 6'1", 316. He's 23 years old, younger than a lot of the rookies. Comps, DJ Jones, athletic comps. Aleem McNeil went to Kent State, then transferred to Indiana. He was only there for 1 year, but he was teammates with 3 other 49ers now. Curtis Rourke, Kalon Black, Mikhail Kamara, CJ West. They were all on the same damn team. The Niners love that Indiana pipeline. Born and raised in Chicago, went to Nazareth Academy, which a lot of football prospects come through there. CJ West played linebacker and led his team to a 7A state title as a junior. They were runners-up as a senior. Three-star recruit, number 17 on ESPN, committed to Kent State before transferring to Indiana to finish out his career. He's a slasher. Niners love that with their three techniques. He's just a slasher. He can play the plugger role, but the three tech is where he should be, but he can play both. He probably has the most versatility of any defensive tackle on the Niners roster. Like Osa, three tech guaranteed, right? Grayson Halton, three tech guaranteed. Alfred Collins, plugger, could play three tech. Bryson, plugger. James Thompson, he could play both. But like CJ West is the guy with the most versatility in the defensive tackle room. He could play plugger, he could play three. He was a rush crush guy. He was, you know, I love this guy coming out. Got trapped in the fourth round, 113th overall. He was the favorite pick by almost everybody from last draft class. Playing 14 games, no starts, 21 tackles, 2 tackle for loss, 2 sacks, 9 hurries. Now, the negative. Finished with a 27.9 run defense grade. He was bad in the run game. Missed tackles, got pushed out of his gap a lot, struggled with the double team. 27.9 is about as bad of a run grade as you can get. And that's the big reason why you go trade for a guy like Osa Odighizuwa, because he's a two-way player, run and pass. Best moments of CJ West rookie year, the sack versus Phillip Rivers, that Indianapolis game, which was so fun. 4 pressures, 1 sack, 1 solo stop that game. He was awesome. Yeah, playoff sack. It was funny. We asked him, you know, which player do you want to sack the most in the NFL? He said, I don't care who the player is, whoever the quarterback is for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, guess what? He only had 2 sacks, but he got to sack Sam Darnold in the playoff game. So that was huge. So the one quarterback he wanted to sack, he got. It was kind of in trash time as the Niners already got blown off, but still, you got to sack in the playoffs. That's huge. He's trending the way we want him to be. Could eventually just be a pass down option only at defensive tackle, CJ West, but man, his run game film was really, really good in college at Indiana. So you're hoping that that's going to take an uptick. Got to improve the run game. Consistency, staying in his gap, anchoring versus double teams. He's got to get there. The effort, the motor, all that's there. The fire hydrant, as Robert Saleh called him. Slow start to the season. Broke his thumb in week 3. That set it back big time. But he's third on the depth chart right now, I think. Really, really, really good player. Flashes for sure. Consistency is the issue. Played 358 snaps, 24 on special teams. Made $1.8 million. And the depth chart of defensive tackle, Osa and Alfred Collins, those are your starters. CJ West can back them both up. Grayson Halton, Sebastian Valdez, Evan Anderson, James Thompson Jr., Bryson Eason. That's a young, stout, quality defensive tackle room. Man, they upgraded. Oh, I love it. Oh, we got some fighting going in the chat. I love it. Jacob, I have zero problems with Kyle trying to keep things close to the vest. It's outlandish for anyone to expect Kyle to be forthcoming. Yeah, he sees anything as an advantage, he's going to take it. And I'll continue to say this. This is an axiom of the 49ers Rush podcast. You can trust Kyle on almost everything. Can't trust him on anything to do with injuries. Just cannot. Got to go with the track record. Shane, we are loaded at defensive tackle. It's a logjam. 100% agree. But the way this team gets injured, it's okay. Yeah. Ben right here. Love CJ West's personality. He's awesome, man. Just salt of the earth. You can go back. You can Google 49ers Rush CJ West. It'll pull up. We had a great time with him. We had him on for about 20 minutes. And yeah, it felt like it was like a 4-minute interview. He's just a fun guy to talk to. Personality just jumps. Awesome guy. Work ethic's incredible. And man, somebody loyalty, you know, he goes to bat for his guys. Yeah, I think that's huge. I really, really do. So big CJ West fan. Got to get better at the run game though. You can't be a liability in the run game as a defensive tackle. He's not good enough in the pass rush game to just be a pass rushing specialist. Can't do that. He's not there yet. So that's CJ West. Let's go to number 25, one of the most beloved 49ers in such a short amount of time. Number 25, it's pretty easy whenever you're replacing Jake Moody. Eddie Pinheiro, we almost always, on every countdown, 53, 52, 51. That's usually where we put the long snapper at 53, punter at 52, kicker at 51 on the countdown. Can't do that with Eddie P. You can't. Dude is the freaking legend. You could argue the best kicker in the NFL last year very easily. Did miss some time. He wasn't part of the countdown last year because he got signed after week one, whatever. Jake Moody missed those kicks. And gosh, just think about how you feel whenever I say Eddie Pinheiro. Then think about how you feel whenever I say Jake Moody. Gosh, right? Like, that's optimism versus pessimism, ladies and gentlemen. Peptimism, that's not a word. I'm good at English. Eddie Pinheiro just came in, and it was just a breath of fresh air. He's amazing, and the Niners signed him, which was my number one thing I wanted the Niners to do this offseason. Just sign the damn kicker. Be done with this bullshit. Don't draft kickers ever again. The worst, and I can fight with a wall here. I know I am. The worst draft pick in 49ers history is Eddie Pinheiro. Jake Moody. The fact that you spent a third-round pick on a kicker, the highest draft kicker in the NFL, and he was so trash, head case. Like, you just look at him, and you talk to him, and you see him at press conferences. It's like, dude, this dude is about to snap. I hope he has a great career and, you know, whatever else. But, like, that was stupid. I understand there's first-round picks. You talk Trey Lance. You talk so many other picks. I get it. That pick could never have been worth it, ever, under any situation. It was just, you threw that shit to the dogs. Oh, anyway, back to Eddie Pinheiro, who is amazing. 5'11", 190, he's 30 years old, played at Florida, born and raised in Miami. Awesome background. His father was Cuban native. His mother, Nicaraguan. Man, very unique perspective. Father moved to the United States when he was 9, later became a pro soccer player for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. Eddie went to Miami Sunset High School. Was a four-time All-Dade County pick in soccer. Didn't pick up a football until his senior year. Was a tryout for 8-plus schools and originally coming to Alabama before switching to local Florida. Went through 7 teams in the NFL before finding his home with the 49ers. Just got to stick with it, man. Stick with it. Signed in September after they released Jake Moody. He's awesome, man. Now, he's not perfect. He really, really is. I saw it in the chat. Oh, here we go. Filthy casual. Why does Eddie P struggle with extra points? That's the one weakness. The only negative to Eddie P is, one, he's 30 years old. Two, man, 91.5% extra points. That's very low. He 150 for 164. He's missed 14 extra points in his career in 84 games. That's not all with the Niners. But, I mean, he missed 4 extra points for the Niners last year. 89%. That's even lower than his career average. That's the negative. For some reason, extra points. And what's weird is you look at him with field goals that are kind of 30 to 30 yards and all that stuff. You know, the short field goals. He's 30 for 30. It doesn't make sense. He's better at a field goal at the extra point length than he is the extra point. Does that make sense? Like, it's just kind of weird. But, man, you look at what he did last year. He was perfect for field goals. He missed one field goal, and it was comical because it was a 64-yarder before the half of Indianapolis, and I remember it vividly because I was like, all right, clock's running out. This is my time to run to the bathroom. We were drinking some beers. We had a good time in Indy. I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick. So I was like, I'm just going to miss these last couple plays. I think they're going to nail it out and go to the bathroom. I'll be back for kickoff. I'm in the bathroom and you hear, I'm stealing this from somebody on Twitter, what equates to a Korn bass note, that slap bass, that boom. Like, if you guys listen to Korn, you know what I'm talking about. In the bathroom, and everybody's like, what the hell was that? Like, everybody's at the urinals. And you just hear this bong. Everybody's like, what the hell was that? Because they didn't have the game on audio-wise. Another huge stadium pet peeve. Why would you not put the audio of the game in the bathrooms? Come on, man. Simple thing. Levi's doesn't even do it at the top freaking sections. Come on, man. Everybody got to hear that thing. That's ridiculous. But I run out. Turns out dude attempted a 64-yard field goal, hit the crossbar. That's the only field goal he missed all the year. you could argue the best kicker in the NFL, but wasn't on a roster week one, missed two games with a hamstring. It was a hamstring. Yeah, hamstring strain, missed a few weeks. But dude was incredible, man. Just unbelievable. The Niners signed him to a four-year, $17 million deal, $10 million guaranteed. And so you're like, all right, they paid him. Well, you go look at the kicker salaries. He's the 11th highest paid kicker. 11th highest. You didn't even have to pay him based on his performance because he's been bouncing around the NFL for so long. So, like, he makes the same against the cap, as less, actually, than Vidarian Lowe. I don't care that you're paying a kicker. I would prefer to pay a kicker than ever waste a draft pick on a kicker ever again. There is no competition here. He is the kicker for multiple years. He could go out there and miss. Now, the problem that I do have with Eddie Pinheiro is, how do you live up to what you just did where you didn't miss one field goal? You can't do that. That is unsustainable. If he does that again, he'll be an all-pro. He'll be the all-pro kicker for the next 3 years, right? But that's not realistic. He's going to miss kicks. But with what you're paying him, he can miss kicks and still be at a value contract-wise. He's the 11th highest paid kicker at the height of the contract. It's only going to get better. Next year, he'll be the 14th highest kicker. Third year, he'll be the 17th highest kicker, which would be about average. And he's not an average kicker. Yeah, Dinero Pinheiro, I love it, man. He will still kick fire at 40. I'll take it, man. And yeah, you hope he works on the extra points, but that has been a theme throughout his career, everywhere he's been. It's been rough. And it is nice to have an NFL kicker. I freaking love Eddie Money, dude. Oh, yeah. Look at this, Shane. Eddie, just give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tappy. It's all in the hips. Yeah, well, go ease it on somebody else. Chubbs, I freaking love it. Nice reference there. I feel great. Happy Gilmore may be the show that I've watched the most in my life. Me and my brother growing up, man, whenever we would not have anything to do or whatever, or we were bored or it's too hot outside or whatever, just put on Happy Gilmore and we quote the whole damn movie back and forth. So good. And watch it with the kiddos and they held up. It was awesome. Oh, look at this Kimbro in the house. What's up, man? Appreciate the super chat. John F. and Chapman is back. First time I could catch a couple minutes of the live show. Finally got rush withdrawal shakes to go away. Have to jump off, but hope the trip was good. Man, thank you, Kimbro. Appreciate your generosity. And, man, I miss you guys, too. I don't like being away. That was the longest break I've ever taken. But it was worth it with the wife. We had a good time. But, yeah, two shows today. We're doing every show from now on. We're not taking breaks. I will have to take a couple days off next week just for moving because the internet gets set up and all that stuff. Oh, look at this. Invader. What about Bob? It was probably the one I've watched the most. Either that or Planes, Trains, Automobiles. That's right. Baby steps, baby. Just baby steps. That's all we got to do. All right. 25, Eddie Pinheiro, and our last player on today's countdown. Let me get a drink of coffee just a little bit. By far, a Chapman crush, Rush crush, whatever you want to say. I think this dude's starting week one. Number 24, Marquis Siegel. We were high on him last year. We had him number 28 last year because I was like, dude, this dude's taking Jair Brown's job. He did. Didn't hold on to it. Up and down rookie year to say the least. But Marquis Siegel, number 24. I freaking love this dude, man. Best tackler on the team. Fastest safety by a mile. Just fits what I think it means to be a 49er. He's only in his second year. 5'11", 199, wears jersey number 36, 23 years old. Went to North Dakota State, won a championship as soon as a starting freaking freshman. Then transfers to Kansas State for 2 years. Oh, and by the way, two-time team captain and is only 2 years at Kansas State. You want physicality. You want freaking attitude on and off the field. Just leadership. Do everything right all the time. Marquis Siegel is that guy. Got to get better in coverage. That's the negative. Run game, oh, plays like a freaking linebacker, man. Got to get better in coverage. Now, was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, son of Calvin and Natasha Siegel. Dad's favorite team, Niners, by the way. That's what's up, man. Talking Calvin. I like Calvin. Played both football and ran track. Big family, four siblings. He was unranked coming out of high school, signed with North Dakota State. One season with them, they won the national championship, then transferred to Kansas State, voted team captain on the spot. Showed up team captain after freaking spring football. Dude won, like he just fits it. Dude started as a freaking rookie last year. Oh, he was awesome. He was the MUFC all-newcomer team in 2021, business admin major. The Niners picked him in the fifth round at 160. He was one of the guys we predicted. I probably should have screenshot the tweet where this guy will be drafted. He was one of our 10 out of 10 49ers fits. He was a rush crush. Like, I think I had a fourth round grade on him. We got him in the fifth. Going into his second season, he was in 11 games last year, started the first five. He got benched after the Bucs game. We were in a deep cover three. He gave up a post for a touchdown, and Shanahan threw him under the bus at a press conference. I hate when Shanahan does that, but he did this kid. But that wasn't the end for him. Lost his job. Jair Brown comes in terrible. Had great game against Carolina, Jair Brown did. But anyway, Marquise Siegel gets benched, doesn't throw fit. Instead, he turns into freaking Pro Bowl caliber special teamer and becomes one of Brent Boyer's favorite special teams players. And it's just, at worst, Marquise Siegel is a lifelong 49er special teamer. Like, you keep this dude around for a long time. Niners don't pay safeties. They let him walk. But they will pay special teamers. And this dude is on the cusp of being one of the best special teamers the 49ers have. He is incredible. Now, you look at his overall grades, run defense grade 65. He's incredible. Coverage grade 31.2. That you can't do that as safety. You cannot just be a run guy. Now, I would argue that Marquise Siegel is always where he should be. He just can't make plays on the ball yet. He's so close. And it's one of those things, if he's covered, he's open. And teams got that tape, and they're like, dude, we're going to go after this rookie safety. And he would be in great coverage on a tight end or a big wide receiver or whatever. And quarterbacks would still throw the ball at him, even though it's quote unquote blanketed. You got to get some pass breakups. You got to get some interceptions. You got to force teams to not feel comfortable attacking you. And Marquise Siegel did not do that his rookie year. Just didn't do it. Got to improve there. Got to. Fastest safety in the room. You look at the safeties missed tackle rates. Mustafa 16%, Jair Brown 15.8%. Now, huge caveat to Jair Brown's missed tackles. He runs himself, he has such poor tackling angles. He'll run himself out of a play without touching the ball carrier. And that doesn't count as missed tackles. I would put Jair Brown's missed tackle rate up around 22%, but it's not a missed tackle if you take such a poor angle you can't even touch the ball carrier. Marquise Siegel's at 9. That's really good for a safety. And again, to put it in perspective, run game, Marquise Siegel played 400 snaps less than Jair Brown, 2-to-1 snap ratio last year. Only 3 less tackles, 47 tackles for Siegel, 50 for Jair Brown. He's an impact player in the run game, liability in the pass game. Can that change? What can Raheem Morris and Jerry Gray do with this young guy that has a very high ceiling? That is one of the things I want to see. Marquise Siegel might not win the job this year. I think that he will. At worst, Jair Brown's last year of his rookie deal. He moves on. Siegel steps into the starting lineup next year. But special teams ace. Like, he is in that category. He's on every single special teams units. 36. You see him out there, watch him. So consistent. So consistent. Very fun player, man. He had the huge fourth down stop against the Rams. That was probably the height. You remember he had the Alfred Collins punch out. Then the very next drive, fourth and one, they go for it. The Rams, Marquise Siegel right in the hole with Fred Warner, with Alfred Collins, with D'Amador Lenore. But Marquise Siegel was the guy. That was huge. He had 13 tackles versus the Rams and a pass breakup that game. Like, you do not win that game against the Rams without Marquise Siegel. And then you got trashed the next time you play the Rams. Why? Jair Brown was in there and got taken advantage of pretty badly. I like this kid a lot. I really, really do. And so he's just one of those guys that I just believe in. I really, really do. And I think that he's going to start. We shall see. we shall see. Going through the chat. Let's see. Oh, look at this. Ben says, my cousin Vinny for me is the most watched out. Dude, such a great move. What is a ute? You mean to tell me a grit kit cooks faster on your stove? I'm from Georgia, so the grits thing kind of hit home. It's what it is. Appreciate you. Right here. One slick dude. Yeah, I don't know why we took out Siegel and put in Brown last year. Shanahan said, you can't get beat on a cover three when you're the deep middle guy on a post route. You can't. Jair Brown did three times later that year. He didn't get benched, but it's what it is. Filthy Castro. Yeah, hope Siegel improves pass coverage with Morris and Jerry Gray as the coach. Yeah, Invader. When Invader speaks, I listen. Siegel, our best tackler. He's so good, man. Perfect form tackler. Form tackle. All the time. Shane, fifth round magic. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Ben, Siegel was never out of position in coverage. I think he just needs confidence to play the ball. That's there, man. I want to see it. I want to see it. Ah, Logan. Siegel should have a really good year. Already a great tackler. Just got to be in the best position in coverage. It's there, man. It is there. I love Marquis Siegel. All right, this is the end of the first of two shows today. We'll be live with Larry around 7:15, 7:30 Pacific time. But, man, 49ers football is here. They are at the facility improving as we speak. Training camp is underway, baby. Can't stop, won't stop. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.